On this 13th day of April 2011 in San Diego, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we're reading today from the 11th canon, General History, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, and text number 19. Bhakti yoga parai vokta,
bhakti yoga parai vokta,
priyamana yate nagha,
priyamana yate nagha,
punascha katayishyami, man bhakti karanam param,
bhakti karanam param.
Translation: O sinless Uddhava, because you love me, I previously explained to you the process of devotional service. Now I will again explain the supreme process for achieving loving service unto me. Purport. Although Lord Krishna previously described bhakti yoga to Sri Uddhava, Uddhava is not yet satisfied because he loves Lord Krishna. Anyone who loves the Lord cannot be fully satiated by discussions of devotional service mixed with descriptions of mere Vedic duties and analytic philosophy. The supreme stage of conscious existence is pure love of Krishna. And one who is addicted to Lord Krishna desires to constantly drink the nectar of such topics. Lord Krishna has given an extensive survey of many aspects of human civilization, including the Varnashram Dharma system, and the processes of distinguishing between matter and spirit, renouncing sense gratification, and so forth. Now Uddhava is hankering to hear specifically about pure devotional service to Lord Krishna, and the Lord thus turns to that topic. Om jnana timarandasya jnanandana shalakaya chakshu unmiditam nena tasmai shri gurave namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So we come again to the central topic, not only the Uddhava Gita, but also the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is Bhakti Yoga. And it's important to realize that whatever we hear about, and the way in which we study the Bhagavatam here is, you know, one verse at a time generally. So sometimes you don't get a whole sweep of the chapter or the canto that's going on. But, you know, we were hearing here about knowledge and renunciation that follows from that pure knowledge. And all of these topics are very important, but the central goal of them and the central underlying mission or purpose for cultivating all these things is to come to the point of devotional service to Krishna. And indeed, we find that, that devotional service, as it's practiced, as it's presented in Bhagavatam, engenders these things, jnana and vairagya. At the very beginning, we have this lesson in the second chapter, where, you know, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayita Hoitikam. That when one engages nicely in the service of Vasudeva Krishna, then jnana and vairagya follow as a train. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't cultivate knowledge and we shouldn't try to be detached in the ways that we are taught. But the fact is that without bhakti, these are unsuccessful. That you cannot really be detached and you cannot really have full knowledge. Knowledge that doesn't lead to devotional service is no knowledge at all. When we find the Krishna describing knowledge in the 13th chapter, there are all these different elements, and we're about to embark on one of these wonderful lists in text 20 to 24, all different elements of devotional service. So each one is important, but as Prabhupada says in the purport, the central fact of this list is maya ananyena bhavena bhakti kurvanti yedvidham, something like that. In other words, undeviated devotional service to Krishna. That may be from another verse, but that's the idea. Is that without that central purpose or that central fact, then all the other elements don't really breed any fruition. Amanatvam, you know, humility, spiritual master, seeing the evils of birth, old age, disease, and death. I mean, the impersonalists see that. You know, that's their whole idea. Oh, they're afraid of birth, old age, disease, and death, and therefore they cultivate their, impersonal knowledge. But ultimately, that knowledge, it doesn't bear fruit, and they cannot truly be liberated without coming to the point of devotional service. So one of the important points here is that because you love me, because we have this intimate relationship, therefore he's again describing, and he will describe, repeatedly, the process of devotional service to Uddhava. Now we find that in the Gita also, with Arjuna, right? That famous verse, Sahivaya Maya Teja Yoga Prokta Puratana Bhaktosime Sakacheti Rahasyam Vitarutama. That the same knowledge that I spoke some millions of years ago to the sun god, which came down to the parampara and was understood, I'm now again speaking to you because you're my devotee and you're my friend. And therefore, you can understand the mystery of this knowledge and this process. So this is the key for actually understanding the mysteries of devotional service. Even with the books, even sitting in the assembly, if one is not in the proper mood of receptivity, cultured by devotion and surrender and service, then the knowledge cannot take root in the heart. You'll hear it as something else, You'll hear it. You can't pick up the actual thread. It's the secret, confidential import of the knowledge. Even though the words may be the same, and you're reading them, it will not enter the heart and produce the desired effect. And that's why this verse that in the fourth chapter is so significant, so essential. If you want to understand, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya ubhidekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. This word ubhidekshanti, to impart knowledge, and so that it's like a seed in the heart that you then cultivate. There have to be these prerequisites to the approach, which is surrender and service and inquiry. All of them are important. One has to have the inquiring mind. One has to be interested in progressing in this knowledge, and just like Uddhava, there's several things going on here. I mean, this is the last meeting he's going to have with Krishna, so in a sense, you get that he wants to ask him more and more questions to keep the meeting going. And so he keeps asking him to go over again and again, and outline the process of bhakti, and let's have some more, and finally. The lesson is complete after a number of chapters here. But there's this very high emotion going on here in various, and we're allowed to listen in on this conversation. It's really very exciting when you think about it. So he already calls him Anaga. He's already sinless. Uddhava is completely sinless. But the nature of the devotee is that he never gets satiated, even hearing the same thing again and again, because it's not the same. Just like Krishna is not the same. Krishna is ever fresh, right? That's one of the things about Krishna's spirit, is that it never gets stale. Material things always get stale, we can see it in this world, the ideal, you meet your ideal soulmate, and you have this idea, happily ever after, But things change, and the relationship changes, and the wandering eye, she looks for someone new, you look for someone new. You want that freshness that's there in the spirit, but can't be there in the matter. Every material experience has that point of satiation. But with Krishna, it's not like that. Just like the chanting of the holy name. If you're actually progressing in the chanting, it should become more and more attractive to you, so that you never want to stop. It's just there's newer and newer experiences in those few syllables. Tunde tandapanid tingbatunate tundavali labdeye. Rupa Goswami is revealing to us his experience with the holy name in this verse from the Antilila, from the Aktivadagda Madhava. It says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant them, they seem to dance in the mouth, and I want to have millions of mouths, only just one. Why just one? And when they enter the ears, I want to have millions of ears. So attractive to hear those two syllables, Krishna. And when they enter the heart, the chamber of the heart, then they take over the whole consciousness. The senses become stunned and the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. This is his wonderful verse. Lord Chaitanya was so enlivened by this verse, he began to dance in ecstasy. All the devotees said, they'd never heard such thing. Wonderful. So, we're also chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But we find some satiation. We find some, oh, you can't do it. You know, it's just like, sometimes I think that these 2 hours of japa are like, almost like a torture session for some. I don't know. Is it 6:15 yet? You know, we can go upstairs and take a nap. But actually, we should be such a thing that we never feel we want to stop this chanting. You know, how is it possible? You know, it's almost inconceivable how great devotees like Haridas Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends this is what we should come, the standard we should come to. You know, 300,000 names. Try to think what that means. We have trouble with our little four granta. A granta is four rounds. You know, so we chant four grantas. So imagine if we're trying to chant, what is it? 48 grantas. That was what Haridas Thakur chanted. Three sets of 64 rounds. Obviously, it's not any drudge for him. It's not an austerity. It's just an ever increasing pleasure. Is it 32? No, no. 48. It's 3 times 16 is 3 times. 3 times. No, actually, I think he's right.
No, grantas 4.
Yeah, grunter is 4 rounds, and we chant 4 grunters. So
he was chanting 128. So divided by 4.
No, he was chanting 192.
Oh, 192. Oh,
yeah. So anyway, how could we conceive of that? And because it's really the mind, you know, the mind fights, you know, it's a stubborn mind. The mind has a, forgive this, you know, it's a pun, but the mind has a mind of its own, you know. In other words, it's determined, you know, okay, you want to chant Hare Krishna, you'll be able to chant a few rounds. But then all of these, you know, the desires, these memories, these impulses, all these things start to become more powerful, and the mind is impossible to focus the mind. You'd be restless. You want to do something else. So when the mind becomes completely satisfied in Krishna, not just the name Krishna, but everything about Krishna, you know, that's shantaras. The mind is peaceful. You're perfectly happy just thinking about Krishna for eternity. And so how can that be? Because Krishna is ever fresh, the leela are ever fresh, the qualities, one quality, you know, so many qualities. We have these 64 qualities that are given in the Nectar of Devotion and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Sanskrit is given. You know, a skillful speaker, you know, Vivadabhuta Bhashabhid, he knows all different kinds of languages. So you could describe, you can, you know, find verses describing that language, how he speaks with the parrots and the, you know, and the different birds and animals in the Vrindavan. He plays his flute to call the cows. He's calling their names. Where do you find a flute player who can do that, you know? And that flute sound, you know, describes how the flute sound is proud of being the sweetest thing in the universe. And it's just like a river of nectar. And Rupa Goswami prays in his verse, I'm very thirsty, please quench my thirst by you know, pouring into my ears this nectarian sound of your flute, which is just like the Ganges, Svardunitam. You know. So how many verses, how many descriptions, how much it affects just on the flute sound? You see how it becomes unlimited when Krishna reveals these things to you, and they've been given to us, so many descriptions in our literatures. So that's why you find Krishna speaking again and again, repeating the same instructions, the Bhagavatam. Even in the Gita, we find so much repetition. And there's nothing wrong in that. Real devotees relish that, you know, to hear. And not just the, you know, about the flute sound, also about the creation, also about this world, how it comes to be, our position in it, the modes of nature. All of that, because it's coming from Krishna, is like pure nectar. You know, read the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. How the Bhagavad Gita is just like this pure nectar, milk that's been milked from the Upanishads. What is that? Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdam Gopala Nandada Parto Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Sudhat Gita Amitam Mahat. So like all the Upanishads are like a big cow. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. And Krishna has taken that cow and He's milked the cow to create the nectarian milk of the Gita, the Gita Upanishad. Now, calves, they drink the milk, right, of the cow, but they don't drink all of it. So part is the original calf drinking that milk, but we also can drink the leftover milk of the Gita. It tastes the same nectar. So, but the Gita is, you know, there's very little lila there. You know, it's all philosophy, but it's nectar because it's coming from Krishna and it's the absolute truth. So the real, you know, devotees, they never get tired. They encourage the speaking, right? It said, you know, in the sages of Naimisharanya are at the original speaking of the Bhagavatam on the banks of the Yamuna or the Ganges. Nobody was falling asleep. You know, even Parikkhit, he wasn't eating or sleeping or drinking for 7 days straight. That's how eager he was to hear. And he would periodically say to Shukadeva Goswami, go on speaking. I don't care, let the snake bird come and bite me. This is a famous verse. Just as long as you go on chanting these wonderful nectarian verses. So to cultivate that eagerness to hear, this is a quote from Prabhupada, is the first qualification for going back to Godhead. It's right there in the second canon. So here we find it, you know, and the speaker is so eager when he finds the eager hearer. So this is what this verse is about. Now, I already spoke to you about bhakti yoga, but because, old sinless one, you love me so much, I'm going to speak it again. Punas katiyashami mad bhakti karanam param. The means of devotional service. So it's important to understand there's these different aspects. There's the, the division, eternal division, sambandha abhiteya prayojana. So understanding the nature of things, you know. A description of varnashram is also really part of sambandha. You're describing how people in different modes of nature fit into different parts of the universal form, or how they're born of different parts of the universal form. They take different roles. The Brahmins are born of the head, you know, and the Kshatriyas from the arms, protection, and the Vaishyas, Prabhupada said, from the belly or from the thighs, it's actually here, and of course the Shudras from the feet. So every part of the body is important. Yes, the head is the most important, and the heart, you know, but you have to have the feet, you know. If you don't have the feet, then your activity is crimped. We see our friend Ryan, you know, he's still doing the service, but it's a struggle, you know, because one of his feet doesn't work so well anymore. So the sutras are important for all, you know, all elements are important. So, you know, understanding how those different elements work in society and how they should work for the pleasure of Hari, for Krishna. And that's all part of sambandha, you know, understanding how things are put together. And then, plus so much about the modes of nature, the creation, how we came to be, what our situation is, who am I, you know, that's all part of understanding what is what. Very important. That's the foundation. And then comes the practice based on the foundation. If all of this is just theoretical, if you're studying, Indian Religion 101 in UCLA, and you have to do a paper on, you know, Bhagavatam, first canto, you know, then it's all theoretical. Because it has to come to the point of, you know, taking up the bhajan and actually serving the Lord and serving the Lord's devotees. So it's possible to have that. We've seen, I have this book at home that's a translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I had to get it because of my work on the CC and the other books. And by this famous scholar named Dimmock, who was our friend early on. Did you meet him?
Drunk as a
skunk. And you know, he did a lot of work on this book, and I think he needed some help of one of his grad students. I read the introduction, you know. And you read it, and it's interesting. There's something missing in there from the translation. What's missing is the bhakti. You know, even though the words may be, you know, precise translation from the Bengali, no one's going to become a devotee by reading this book. You can imagine, this is describing the activities and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There's no commentary, very little, a few notes, you know. But, what happened? I mean, he came in touch with the knowledge, but he had no love for Krishna. He had no desire to be a devotee. He wasn't really, it was all, the motive, you see, the motive is different. The motive is basically the categories fame and wealth, you know, pretty much that covers it. So yes, he had some interest in it, you know, and that was, you know, but it didn't gel. It didn't really produce the result. So for ourselves, devotion. Devotion. What is devotion? It's the interest. It's faith. There has to be some faith, preliminary faith, that matures into strong faith, and that is genuine interest and genuine eagerness to understand this knowledge and to reach the goal of the knowledge, and that can only be imparted by a pure devotee. That faith. This was Prabhupada's, one of Prabhupada's greatest gifts. In fact, the gift that made all the other gifts possible was that just by his association, just by hearing him chant, just by seeing him and hearing him and reading his books and coming in contact in so many ways, that seed of faith is planted. Because here is someone who is completely faithful, full of faith, and realization. And so that he could impart that. Whereas if you read any of the, any book or hear anyone that's not faithful, it can actually damage your faith. They may be saying the same words. I remember that one book that came out. I won't say who wrote it, but it was a book on Vaishnavism. That was the title, I think. And we went. There was all these interviews with scholars who knew something about Ramayana and something about Gaudiya Vaishnavism, whatever. And this idea, which was coming out when you were talking on Ram's appearance day, that, it's just fairy tales, it's like a cartoon, That was spoken in that book. This was how this scholar of Ramayana was seeing it. It's some, interesting myth that's spoken of in the... You don't actually believe this stuff, do you? This is how they see it, because they're coming at it with the jaundiced view of the Western mind steeped in reductionism and technology and science, which is really the religion of the day. That's where they look if they want some safety, I mean, when this thing happened in Japan, you didn't see a lot of people going. I didn't hear about all the kirtans and the prayers and, where was that? Oh, no, the government's going to try to somehow fix it. We'll get together and we'll get through this together. Where was the... There's nothing, So that's what the I was. Huh?
Brought it to that point.
Yes, of course. That's what we see. And it can also bring in this country to this point, too. It's not really there. So, and that was printed. And if you read that about the Ramayana, how does that help you, understand Lord Ram as God? It doesn't. And even you're saying our popular Ramayana, that had been on the database for 10 years, doesn't have, because the audience was such, there wasn't... We have to come back to basics. How did the Bhagavatam become written? It became written, it was written by Vyasadeva because he was dissatisfied with all of this halfway preaching that he'd done through writing all the Vedas. He said, they're not ready for full-on Krishna, so I can't give them that. I'll just give them Brahman. Right? The question was, how about the Upanishads? They generally don't talk so much about God, more about Brahman. That's what they can take. There's so many people meditating, doing that. But no, Narada said, forget about that. Just give it straight on. Full bhakti, Krishna Leela, everything, the ultimate truth. And the fact of the matter is that you become more enlivened that way. When you, this was the Prabhupada's whole point. I don't care if nobody becomes a devotee. I'm still going to give the pure thing. And if Krishna wants, he will make my power to speak sufficient so that it will enter into the hearts. Remember that prayer before he even began preaching. He's I forget if he's on the ship or just got off. But the one, where he says, make me dance, make me dance. So he's putting his hands in Krishna. It's your mission. You can make me successful. But what Prabhupada brought to it was absolute determination not to adulterate the message. Yes, there's time and circumstance where, you emphasize certain things. But the essence of it never becomes compromised. Because if you compromise that, then you get depressed. And you can't inspire anyone else for the actual thing, you see? For the true thing as it is. So in this Bhagavatam, this Uddhava Gita is such a wonderful part of it. And he's going to give this list that's just absolutely incredible, about the whole process of devotional service. Four verses. Five verses. You know, and we've had other lists like this. You know, Prabhupada, go back to the first canto. I always think that, you know, the Vyasadeva, knowing this Kali, you know, what this Kali Yoga is going to be, he said, well, maybe they won't be through the whole Bhagavatam. So I'll give them the whole thing in the second chapter. Just get through the second chapter, these 20 verses or so from Savai Punk Sampada Dharma. And if they take that seriously, then they can make tons of advancement. That's why we made it into a book. It's kind of a complete lesson in and of itself, starting in 1.2.6. What is real dharma, and so many things, ending with exaltation of hearing and chanting, you know, ultimately producing realization of God. But the real devotees, if you become enlivened by that, you want to hear more. And so the Bhagavatam goes on and on and on, and ultimately, you know, we get saturated with the lessons that Krishna is teaching, either directly as here or through his pure representatives or his expansions. But coming back again to the theme of this verse, to try to develop, you know, this eagerness through love or through affection, if not for Krishna, then for a spiritual master. We're singing every morning, you know, Shri Guru Charana Rate Ese Uttamagati. Each line of this prayers are so significant that the word gati can mean two things, as far as I can tell: the goal itself or the means to the goal. And in both of the songs we sing to the spiritual master every morning, the Gurvashtika, which is for the Mangalarti, and this Shri Guru Chananda song, what is it called?
Guru Vandana
song. Then the word means the same thing. Gati means the means of advancement toward the goal. And so what does it say here? Shri Guru Charane Rati Ese Uttamagati. The ultimate means for advancement is attraction for the lotus feet of the Guru. In other words, what do we know of Krishna? He's so far beyond us now. But we can know the spiritual master, and we can develop by service and by attention and by all of the processes we have, Sangha, we can develop an affection. Why? He saved us. You know, he's making so much effort to give us this knowledge, to save us from millions of births of misery in the future that we're being saved from, despite the fact that we're so unqualified, we're so ignorant, we're so impure, you know, reaching out. Prabhupada reached out. This was his glory. No one can ever do what Prabhupada did, to make the greatest sacrifice at the risk of his life, physical life, to reach out to us, literally to us, Americans, really, and through, you know, and of course the whole world. So, you know, so isn't there some attitude of gratefulness? This is a small realization, that the mood of gratefulness or gratitude is close to affection. You know, if someone saves you from, you know, drowning or something, then you can appreciate them. You know, you want to give them something back. There's a strong relationship there. So that should be like our first emotion, really, in the morning. As soon as you start singing Samsara Dava Nadali Loka Tranaya, if you visualize the flames, the heat, feel the burning threefold miseries, at least understand what you're singing, and saving, Tranaya. So immediately the heart opens with, oh, thank you for saving me. If you're in the middle of the road and someone pulls you out before the bus comes, thanks a lot, you know. And then, so what does that do? That opens up a channel. If you're truly grateful, that opens up a channel in which the knowledge can be poured in, and the faith and the relationship becomes firmer. And that's exactly what we see here. Uddhava is the disciple, Krishna is the guru. And because the love is flowing there, Krishna just wants to keep speaking and filling him up and giving him more and more. And we're able to witness this and listen in. And so it's a... if we take it seriously, you know, you can become very enlivened by this Uddhava Gita, which is a lesson in and of itself. It can be a separate book. It has been published as a separate book. Okay, we have a few minutes for questions or comments.
It's more of a comment,
it's okay.
If you wish to add something to it or correct it,
okay.
I just felt that your presentation is completely perfect. This comment is not meant to change anything you said, just complete for the benefit of some of us in the audience.
Hare Krishna.
In regards to presenting Krishna consciousness full as it is, sure, that's exactly how it should be done. However, there are a few tweaks we have to apply to this statement. Not tweaks, additions we should. Like, one of the offenses to the holy name is to teach to people that which they cannot have appreciation for, therefore will just commit offenses.
Right.
So that's a barrier to communication there. And also things like certain aspects of Krishna Leela.
Yes.
We will tell, but way later.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't tell right away because people won't understand that.
Yeah, the art of preaching, really, and Srila Prabhupada showed this, is how to present Krishna consciousness as it is for each particular audience so that they can take it, with always in view that you want to bring people to the ultimate goal. In other words, how can one pick up the thread, you know, in a certain situation? And, you know, he made so many modifications, as you said, in the early days. And so, you know, Lord Chaitanya also, he didn't, you know, talk about Radha Krishna and the gopis. He basically gave sankirtan. And so, you know, really, we can ask anyone to chant, but we're not going to get into the intricacies of the holy name, because they won't understand it, and they'll deride it, and they'll make offense, and Bhakti Creeper will be damaged. So that is the art, you know, and that was originally Prabhupada's idea for the Back to Godhead magazine. You know, how that would be his devotees' outlet for preaching in a way that they know, you know, that can attract the masses of people. That's what the BTG was meant to go out en masse. And no, you're not supposed to deal with all the, you know, the Radha Krishna and the gopis in Back to Godhead. They're there, but not the details, you know. So that's, you know, that's the art of presenting it. But it's important for us to you know, this is very high things that are being discussed here. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wanted his disciples to read all the books, not that they would only concentrate. I mean, I was there for the Gopi Bhava Club. I was a member, and I quit, luckily. But, you know, only read certain parts of the CC. That was what was going on. No, we can't do that, you know. Anyway, that's another long story. But yes, the key is maintaining your orientation so that you're trying to bring people to the lotus feet of Krishna, you know, Radha Krishna. But to do that, they have to take the baby steps first. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, baby steps. You're not the body, you know. That itself is so revolutionary. If that one thing is understood, everything else, you know, follows. What it does is undermine the entire civilization, the entire endeavor to simply base your whole life on the needs of the body, gross and subtle. You see? But that's necessary first step. If someone doesn't come to that first step, it's useless to go to higher things, you know. And I always like, you know, the second chapter is so rich. Pajahati yada kaman, we're just studying these verses with Bhakti Tim. And yes, to completely give up material desire that all arises from the mind, to be equipoise and happiness and distress and all these things. You haven't come to that point yet, you're still being whipped around by the senses and everything, then don't try to concentrate on Radha and Krishna. I am sorry. You will just make a mess of it, you'll make an offense, and it will not help you. You know, take it a step at a time. That's the idea. Who else had something? Hare Krishna. Bhakti Steve, go ahead.
Very nice, Pastor Guru. You mentioned something about in the next couple of chapters there's going to be some instructions about Bhakti Yoga.
Well, the next verse, actually. Next verses.
You mentioned that they made it into a book. Was that Dharma, the way of transcendence?
No, you're mixing two things. What I was saying is that throughout the Bhagavatam we have these little lessons, you know, complete lessons that are taking place. Like the teachings of Rishabhdev. We made that into a book too. It was kind of a heavy book. But that was the last one we did. But there they are, you know. Anyway, but Prabhupada himself, he spoke so many times on these verses beginning Savai Pung Sang Parodama 1, 2, 6. That when it came time, Sura was always like poking me to go, let's have another book. I said, okay, this is going to be a nice book. From 1, 2, 6 to, I forget, 1, 2, 20 or so. And, you know, with Prabhupada's purports, followed by selections from the lectures he gave on these different verses. This is how the prayers of Queen Kunti was created, and teachings of Queen Kunti, teachings of Lord Kapila, was created in that way. Prabhupada gave lectures on all those verses, or almost all of them, in Kapila Dev, and also on Queen Kunti's prayers. So I said, this would make a good book. And why did he speak on them so much? Because they're so seminal, because they're so essential. And the lessons, he goes through Dharma at the Kama Moksha, he mentions Varnashram there, and cultivating the desire to hear, how do you do that? And once you have that desire to hear, you can develop the sword of remembrance that can cut off your attachment to this world, and you gradually move up. He practically, echoes the ladder, Rupa Goswami's ladder from faith to love. Anyway, it's a very complete lesson. And we made that book out of it, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. Yeah.
Okay, so the book is
that is the book on that section.
Another really quick one about the Uddhava Gita. Is that in a database?
The whole Bhagavatam is in the database. The separate book isn't there, but you can read the Uddhava Gita. I will tell you which chapters they are, and you can read it in the database. But there is a devotee named Ishwarud who presented it as a separate book, I think, with Vishnu's commentary. When Rajendra Nandana comes back, it was still in the 11th canto, he'll probably be back next month, you'll see him, he'll bring his book there. It's a nice book, but the only thing I argue with is he doesn't mention that it's, part of the larger Bhagavatam in the introduction. He presents it as a separate book. Anyway, anyone else?
I was just thinking, you said, it's the sense of inquiry.
Yeah.
There's a material newspaper, and it says inquiring minds want to know, but it's all Dharmakatha. So the real inquiring mind is to ask the ultimate question, just like you're saying.
I thought you were going to talk about the inquirer, the famous inquirer.
That's what their line is. Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, really?
And it's all Dharmakatha.
It's worse than
of the lowest.
The lowest kind of Dharmakatha. Village gossip, What did They had years and years of what's her name who just died,
Elizabeth
Taylor. She had eight husbands. Sorry, that was a major part of their production. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari.